Throughout this year, we've had this focus of a theme. I'd like you to just recite it with me as we see it together behind us. Ready? Servants who please Him. If I yet please men, I should not be the doulos of Christ. Galatians 1:10. That doulos word there is our word for slave. It really is one that's translated usually servant in our scriptures because at the time of the English rendition of our Bibles, it was a little bit socially unacceptable to think of slavery as acceptable. But that really is the assignment that we have. And so servants who please Him. With that particular thought of emphasis and just reiteration again this morning, I'd like to just present for you, if I may, a formula for being a servant who pleases the Lord. A formula. What is a formula? When you think of what a formula is, I just want to just ask you to think about that question for a moment. Here's my description of a formula. It's not a formal one in the sense of dictionary, but here's what I would suggest a formula is. It's a combination of elements blended together to achieve a desired outcome. A formula is a combination of various elements to achieve or blended together to achieve a desired outcome. Now, maybe some illustrations will help you to put that particular description into some measure of identity. Probably when you think of the word formula, particularly if you've had any experience in parenting, one of the first things that comes to mind is baby formula. There's no question, and by the way, this is not mashed potatoes. This is formula in that can. I just want you to know that. What's the purpose of baby formula? Well, the desired elements blended together is to make healthy babies. I have a little question that most everybody, as far as college students in this room, were probably fed baby formula at some point. Whether that was a success or not, I can't, say at this point. There are those who react to baby formula and can't have it, but baby formula. Or maybe as you grow along, you come to this illustration of a formula. It's this collusion of unbelievable figures and numbers and, letters. And if you're not a math person, formula is a disease in your mind, something to be avoided. But what's the desired outcome of a math formula? Well, it's to solve problems. I even often say to young people as I'm out encouraging them to come to college and they're struggling with a class like math. You might struggle with math classes here. Math is not necessarily just to teach you how to, accomplish this particular formula. It's really teaching you how to think, how to solve problems. And so that's a formula. Now, for some of us, this next illustration is probably your most identifiable one. It's Formula One. It's a racing team. And if you don't know that, there is such. I just want you to know that. You've just been culturally shadowed or maybe sheltered or maybe disadvantaged. But there is a racing team that has determined that the title for their team is the Formula One racing team. And what's their desired outcome? They want to win races. I thought this last illustration was probably appropriate to our beginning of a new semester. This isn't necessarily a race. It's probably better seen as a marathon of sorts. But the truth is you're starting out on an opportunity, whether you're a faculty member teaching a class, or a staff member assisting in our activities, or a student in a class, to have this particular opportunity of a combination of elements to achieve a desired end or outcome, and we trust the Lord's blessing and pleasing Him. I want to invite you to just join me in a particular illustration of that particular formula that's given to us, a formula that I believe is provided through an illustration of Scripture. And as I would this morning, I would say that the formula that I want to bring to your attention is a four-step formula found in Psalm 27:4, the verse I read a moment ago for our meditation verse, to assure that we are servants who please Him. This particular psalm is a rich one that contextually is giving a description of David's response to challenges in life that he faced, particularly at a time when he was being chased by Saul. His very life was on the line. How was he going to face this dire circumstance? Now, students, be assured, I don't think any staff member, I know no faculty member, is chasing you, trying to kill you. You might think so on occasion, but the truth is, that's not your dilemma. But you will face things this semester, maybe even right now, that seem a little overwhelming. And with that particular backdrop, I'd like you to just turn to Psalm 27, if you would, please. As we look at this particular psalm of David's description of how he faced trials and circumstances that gave him such assurance in the face of dilemma. Psalm 27, would you stand with me, please? And we're going to read that portion together. And as you follow in your Bibles, capture the whole psalm, but we're going to zero in on Psalm 27, 4. But you need to see the whole formula context. And so as we look at that psalm together, give your attention as we read.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Before you're seated, can I just remind you that that's a psalm that almost every verse is a captured thought of truth that's so encouraging. And that's what God provides for us in his word. As you're seated, I'd like you to just leave your Bibles open and take your journals. And I want to now take these particular words of verse 4 and from it extract what I'm going to say are the elements. Remember, a formula is the blending of elements to achieve a desired outcome. And these four elements that we're going to see bring together what I believe is the outcome of an effective semester of being servants who please him. Our desire, our passion, our aspiration to be those kinds of servants. So let's look together at these four elements. The first is element number one, my declaration. My declaration. The psalm, verse 4, begins, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Would you say those words with me? One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If I said you got 100 things, or you, in a course of these next days, you're going to find a whole bunch of stuff come across your path called syllabi, and you're going to see a whole bunch of stuff that you got to do. It's often called syllabus shock as you start a semester. But the psalmist puts it right down to the simplicity of one thing have I desired of the Lord. Would you just explore this declaration with me? First, you see the pointed declaration. This pointed declaration is pretty to the point, no pun intended. It's one thing. He's not trying to just generalize. It's not some kind of buckshot. You that are into armaments know there's a difference between a rifle and a shotgun. This is a rifle. This is a bullet that shoots right to the point. One thing, a pointed declaration is given to us. But note further, not only is it a pointed declaration, one thing, it's a passionate declaration. One thing have I desired. What do you really want? What are you really passionate about? For some of you, in a moment of weakness, you'd say, I want a cup of coffee. You knew I'd have to get it in there somewhere. And so you're passionate about having coffee. There might be something else that you're passionate about. These days, as the winter weather's on, you can be passionate about skiing or snowboarding. And I hope you get the chance to do that. It's a great thing to do. Can't do it in Florida. I want you to know that. Aren't you glad you're in West Virginia, huh? Yeah. And we got a ski place just down the road. The point is, passionate describes what really drives you to the point that you want to get it no matter what. For some of you, you think you already have it, or others this semester, you'll develop a thing called a passion for somebody. You know, it might be a special person that you're just, you know, some of you are praying, Lord, make this the semester, particularly seniors who are in their last semester and it ain't happened yet. Lord, can it be this semester? In fact, new students, I want to put your minds at ease, but undoubtedly you've been the victim of some search already. I wonder if this is the one that finally got here. You know, what are you passionate about? The psalmist said, one thing have I desired, a passionate declaration, which is followed then by a providential declaration. Providential, in the sense that it is not something that's focused on temporal, earthly, human values. It's something that is truly attentive to God. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Of the Lord. Providential in its outlook. That's the first element of our formula, a declaration. I wonder, a couple of questions as we pass this element and move to the next. Do you really want to please the Lord? Now, I'm not accusing you as though you don't, but have you ever come to a point, staff members, faculty members, you're not exempt from this. Students, we sort of see you as the developing element on our campus, but collectively, do we have as our driving declaration this pointed, passionate, providential determination? I want to please God. Do you have that as your declaration? I'd like to invite you to even respond to this question. Have you ever come to a point in your spiritual journey where you've said that? Saying those words don't make them happen. But I do believe that uttering those words is a great way to be accountable to yourself, to the Lord, and to others, to say, you know what? Whatever else I am, I want to be somebody who pleases God. Have you ever declared that? I'd like to invite you as we start this semester to make that your declaration. Element number one in this formula for pleasing the Lord. My declaration. But we come to element number two in this verse, and that is my determination. My determination. Take that from the words that follow. That will I seek after. Would you say those words with me, please? That will I seek after. In breaking this down, I want you to see two thoughts. First, there's a specific determination that's given here by the psalmist. It's tied to that little word, that. You know, that's that pronoun that is very intentionally focused on a prerequisite or a previous reference. If you say, you know, I'm going to buy, you know, a particular item and say, that's the thing I want. It's not, you know, general, it's not uncertain, it's very specific. My determination is to accomplish my declaration. A specific determination is given. But not only is it a specific one, it's a searched declaration. To accomplish that declaration, I must give undivided attention. I'm very intent about searching to see that that's accomplished. In practical terms, can I just say this? Start every day with this declaration. One thing have I desired of the Lord. End the day by saying, did I make progress in accomplishing that declaration? Did you search for it all day long as to how you could indeed please Him? I hope that little desk placard that we gave at the beginning of the semester is still very apparent someplace in your possession, on your desk, on your dresser, someplace where you see it regularly. Please him. And remember, the definition of pleasing is not superficial. It's that scaled illustration that's even on that placard, where Christ is on the one scale side and our lives are to balance equally what he is on the other side. Are you living? Am I living so that my life replicates identically who he is? A specific searched determination. I would like to just add this thought to this particular point, and that is this. You know, determination is an act of my will. I make a decision with my will, with my volitional component. It's an act of my will in which I put a declaration into practice or into action. Take the declaration, add to it the determination, and ask yourself this question. Have I ever determined to do that? Have I ever determined to do that? Just like we said in the first one, have I ever decided or declared that? Now I must add to that, have I ever determined to do that? The battle for the spiritual life, my friends, is the will. Most all of us know what we should do. It's the battle of deciding, will we do it? And so, element number two, my determination. Followed with the third of these elements in this formula for pleasing the Lord, and that is my destination. My destination. I'd like you to just read this portion of Scripture from which we get that. We've said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that's my declaration. That will I seek after, that's my determination. And now this destination. Would you read these words with me, please? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, tragically, as we read that, as we hear that, most of us think of just some kind of a place. In today's dispensation, we'd say the church. That's the house of the Lord. In David's day, the tabernacle or the temple. The temple wasn't built before him, so it would have been the tabernacle of sorts. I'd like you to just join me in realizing that David had far more in mind than simply a location. He had a destination. There's a difference. Note, first off, where we're to live. Where are we supposed to live? It's the presence of God that David was really alluding to. You see, to dwell is the word to be at home. It's to have that same word in the New Testament as abide. When I dwell in the house of the Lord, it's not just an occupancy that I share, you know, momentarily or occasionally. It's my living location. I want to challenge us as a campus family to stop and ask this question. Do I really dwell in the presence of God? If we do, guess what? It will solve all the problems of our campus. There'd be no complications, you know, interpersonally. Because you see, when you're in God's presence, there aren't complications with interpersonal relationships. It'd solve all of the, you know, concerns about abidance by, you know, campus regulations. I'm not suggesting that our rules are inspired, but at this juncture in your life as students, they're your obligation. You know, we could relieve the deans, we could relieve the RAs, we could relieve anybody of regulatory enforcement because we're dwelling where God is. Anytime you break a rule, you are out of the presence of God's dwelling place. That may sound a little, you know, sharp and judgmental. It's just fact. Where do you live? I must live in his presence. You see, sin and God don't go together. So when you're in the presence of the Lord by way of your dwelling place, sin will not be a part of that location. Where I should live is followed by then, who should I love? Who should I love? That I may dwell, that's where I live, in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. I should have an insatiable, unchanging, unconditional love for Jesus Christ, for God, for the Holy Spirit. It's the passion for God that I have. But then we see, thirdly, how long should I stay? This destination, well, I'm supposed to stay there forever. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I think of that famous psalm of the same author, David, as he pens Psalm 23. And those words that reflect the shepherd relationship with God. And the conclusion of that psalm is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you have a passion to love God that is untempered by time, unchanged by time, unchanged by circumstances, unchanged by weather, unchanged by, you know, how you feel, what's happening to you, how others are treating? Can you with unchanging commitment say, I am determined to make this my destination? And so I ask this question. Have you ever made God your destination? Have you ever made God your destination? I think that's the life of a Christian, frankly. Our destination should be such that we are absolutely obsessed with His presence, His dwelling place. These past few weeks, you've been privileged, most of you as students, I believe, have the opportunity to be with loved ones. Most cases even say you had a privilege to be at home. And I know there's a range of meaning to that word. For some of you, you had some challenges as you were in that place. And God bless you for just seeking to honor Him there. But for most, there was no place like home. We even had the expression. It's your bed. It's your comforts. It's your, you know, mama feeding you and spoiling you. You know, it's your sleeping in and not having to, you know, whatever. Can I just tell you, anything that you want to use to describe what you may have just come from in this break between semesters doesn't even come close to measuring what it's like to be in the presence of God. Do you have a destination that is God? Formula element number three, a declaration that's made, a determination to meet that declaration, and the destination of that declaration is God and His presence. Brings us to our fourth and final of these, and that is my dedication. My dedication. Taken from the last part of this verse, and as it's posted, would you join me in reading this, and as we conclude this verse together. Ready? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Dedication is a word that's so easily used and so difficult in practice. But we're called as God's children, servants who please Him, to demonstrate dedication. I think there are two thoughts here I want you to capture from this particular element. And that is, first of all, you're dedicated to know something. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's not some kind of superficial, cosmetic, in front of the mirror beauty. That doesn't last. That's why you get up every morning and do it. But when you behold the beauty of the Lord, it's the magnitude of His grandeur and person and all that He offers to us as His children. To be like Him, that's beauty in its truest fashion. And in a world of superficial beauty that spends more time trying to mimic and look like certain elements of beauty that our world offers, can I just tell you, rise above that and see a beauty that surpasses that. The beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. Would you dedicate yourself to know that kind of beauty as a servant that pleases Him? But then to do that, may I say you need to be dedicated to grow as well. To inquire in His temple. Part of your purpose as a student here at Appalachian is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you make that your passion? To have that dedication to not only know Him, but then to grow to be like Him. So I give this question to you. Have you ever unconditionally dedicated your life to be a servant who pleases Him? What terms or statements of limitation have you placed upon your aspiration to be a servant who pleases Him? Dedication says, without any reservations, unconditionally, I do it. There's a temptation when you see this kind of a rigorous list of elements to please him to wonder, is it worth it? Does it work? Go back to your Bibles, please, to Psalm 27. And the very first verse, I believe, gives David's testimony of how it's worth it, the reward, before he goes through all of the elements following that. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Would you note the reward for pleasing the Lord? It's not measured by a GPA or by a special boyfriend or girlfriend that you get or by some kind of check you get in the mail. This is a reward that is eternal and unsurpassed. First off, you see that God is your sun providing direction. The Lord is my light. You're not darkness. Our verse for the month, unintended to be compared, but brought to light. He's called us out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have the privilege of a God who is our Son, our light for direction. We have this reward, God is my salvation, providing deliverance. Salvation in this psalm is not eternal salvation to trust Christ as Savior. It's salvation that is the deliverance that you may well find yourself already sensing you need. Deliverance from struggles that you're facing, deliverance from burdens that's upon your heart. Guess what? When you're a servant who pleases him, when you take the declaration and the determination with the destination that is with this dedication, I promise you, you can know his deliverance. But this third reward is given in verse 1. We have the God who is my strength to accomplish that, my defense. Some of you might already be weary. It's only day one. I just thought I'd bring that to light. But I promise you, before this semester's over, you will be weary. And if you're not, you're failing. Because it's hard work. But can I tell you, the Lord is the strength to give you the ability to exercise that. So may I just give you this formula for pleasing the Lord in a summary fashion? Here's our formula. It's declaration plus determination plus destination plus dedication. That equals please him. Please him. And so I ask you this question as we close. Will you activate the formula? Without the implementation, formula is of no value. Will you activate the formula?